Okay, let's get started. Hi, everybody. My name is Julia Forian, and I'm a program manager for Outlook. My focus is primarily on calendar and the service, and I work across all the Outlook clients to improve calendar on all the different Outlook clients. First, I want to talk about, you know, you've probably seen this slide if you've attended any Outlook session already. What we're trying to say is that we're a family of Outlooks now. We're both structurally and organizationally all part of the same organization now, but we're also doing all of our feature work together, which is something that took a lot of work on all across all the teams. So what you'll see is that big features that we are announcing. Shared calendars isn't in this list, but all it is coming across all the clients. What this is primarily focused on email improvements, but they're coming to all the Outlook clients. So today I want to talk about three key improvements we're making to calendar. We'll focus almost the entire session on shared and delegated calendars, but I think anyone here who is interested in calendar will care about the other two things. So the first one is shared calendars, and by shared calendars, I'm meaning both person-to-person sharing as well as delegation. We consider all of those types shared calendars. The second thing is faster free busy. So we've done a huge amount of work in the service to make it, to improve free busy times for each of you. And I'll do a demo of that as well today. And the last one is democratic meeting information. And that what that is just making sure that everyone has the same information about the meeting. So for example, on your attendee list, as an attendee, you don't know other people's responses. You don't know who's been forwarded the meeting invite. Now attendees will have all that same attendee list that the organizer sees. Making calendar great again. Political joke here. my team said it was lame, but I wanted to throw it in. Okay, so shared calendars. I already said this, but just to drive it home, because I know sometimes that can get confusing. When we talk about shared calendars, that's both granting someone view access or edit access, but it's also delegating your calendar. So users, I'm going to focus on what users see, and then we'll dive into the architecture that makes this possible. So what users will see, first of all, is that shared calendars are going to sync to every single device they use, whether it's an Outlook application or a third-party application. Anywhere they're viewing their mailbox and syncing their calendars, shared and delegated, all the shared calendars will show up there. The second thing that they'll see is instant syncing and improved reliability. And by instant syncing, what I mean is that their shared calendars are going to sync just as fast as calendars that they own. So there's no longer going to be a delay for the client to go read and query the owner's mailbox. Everything is syncing down just as fast as your own calendars. And by improved reliability, what I mean is that legacy clients or older clients like Outlook on Windows and Outlook on Mac are all switching to REST APIs to edit shared calendars. So they're going to be on modern APIs that go through a logic layer in the service to make sure things are working properly. So that's a big change to all of them. So everyone is going to be going through the service to make edits to a shared calendar, which will really improve reliability. The third is simple and consistent UI everywhere. You know, when you're in desktop, you see this crazy, ugly set of permissions that are really convoluted to a user. When you're in web, you see a drop-down, and there are different sets of permissions. Even the entry points to sharing your calendar are different across the applications. We're changing that. So no matter what application a user is using, they're going to have the same entry point and the same set of permissions that will look as consistent as possible, given the different client UI restrictions. So I want to talk a little bit about how shared calendars work today, and I apologize if all of y'all already know this, but I just want to set this up so that when we talk about what the new model is, you'll kind of understand the difference and can hopefully take that home and use it to answer your own questions. So when an owner shares their calendar today, what happens is we put like this special entry in the sharee's mailbox. We call that internally a linked calendar entry. And it's something that only Outlook on Windows, Outlook on Mac, and Outlook on Web understand. So that's the reason why when you're on a mobile device, you don't get your shared calendars, or when you're on Windows 10, you don't get your shared calendars, because they don't understand this linked calendar entry. And so we have two types of calendars now in the sharee mailbox. We have the sharee's own calendars that are just a folder in that sharee's mailbox, and then we have this linked calendar entry that is essentially a pointer back to the owner's mailbox. So this is one point of failure. As we know, when that linked calendar entry tries to query the owner's mailbox, if auto-discover fails or if any other point in that pathfinding mission to the owner's mailbox fails, everything fails with a shared calendar. When you're syncing on a device like Mac, Windows, and Web, they're creating two separate connections, one to the owner's mailbox and one to my own mailbox. So now Outlook has to selectively know what context they're in, which kind of calendar they're editing, all these possible points of failure in the code. You know, when you sync with your own calendars, it goes up and down to your mailbox, everything's great. When you're syncing to the owner's mailbox, I kind of already mentioned this, but you know, we know that these remote rights are failing, especially on flaky networks. I get calls all the time where a delegate has changed a meeting and on her calendar it's changed, and on the CTO's calendar it's on a different day. And I got a personal call from one CTO, went to a wrong meeting. It was not one of my best days of work, but we're gonna try to fix that. So with the new model, that will not happen. And then when you're on Windows and mobile, you don't get that because these devices don't understand this linked calendar entry. So I want to talk about the new model, how that works. So when the owner shares to the Sherry's mailbox, we do two things. One is we actually create a local copy of that shared calendar in the Sherry's mailbox. So now we create a calendar folder for the shared calendar in the Sherry's mailbox. And then we also keep that linked calendar entry for legacy clients. One quick note about the local folder shared calendar is we've specially marked that in such a way that without any changes, Desktop Outlook Outlook on Windows and Outlook on Mac continue to read that shared calendar, linked calendar entry, and whenever they decide to make updates, then they'll stop reading linked calendar and start reading this new special folder. But without changes on mobile, they just read the folder. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you're not going to now have two copies of a shared mailbox or a shared calendar in the Sherry's mailbox. Every client will only see one or the other depending on what kind of client and how they're syncing down folders in that mailbox. It's part of the mailbox. Yeah. So the question was, does it go into the OST? It's just part of the mailbox. So when you're on any client, regardless of the client, all the modern clients are going to be syncing calendar folders. So no more are clients having to remember, this is a shared calendar, this is my own calendar. They just have calendar folders that they have to read. And if you're on a legacy client, they can continue to read the linked calendar entry that they want to read. One question we get all the time is like, how do writes happen? If I'm writing locally to my Sherry copy, how does that actually work? So I mentioned that logic layer that we have in the service. Internally, we call it entities, but it's just a logic layer that we have. So when you write to a calendar folder, we in the service recognize that that's a write to a folder that you don't own, and we redirect it to the owner's mailbox, and then we fan it out to all the Sherry mailboxes instantly. So And it's just as fast as if you, when we time it, when the Sherry writes, the other Sherrys get it instantly as well. This also allows us to manage, if a delegate and a principal both RSVP to the same meeting item, we can see exactly, no one's overwriting each other's changes. If they both edit it, we can do a merge of the description. Everything is now handled by the service rather than the clients trying to overwrite each other. And then on all your clients, you just continue to sync normally. So from a client perspective, shared calendars are essentially my own calendars. And now in the service, we're just taking care of all of the rewrites to the owners and fanning that out to everyone else. So how is it easy for users? I'm going to show you UI and Outlook on Web first, because that's what's coming this quarter. But I want to point out a few different things that now we've combined the share and view permissions into the same page. Previously, when you shared a calendar on Outlook on the web, it just kind of said it happened, but you never saw visual confirmation, and this is worrisome to users. So now you see everything on the same page. The other thing is you can manage your delegates here. We've specifically grouped them out separately, so you can manage where meeting invitations and meeting notifications go for your delegates. You can manage who views private events for all your delegates. We've also added the default user into Outlook on the web. So previously, the default user is why other people in my organization can see my free busy, even though I've never explicitly shared my calendar to them. This is kind of just everyone in your org, this is the level of permissions they have when viewing your calendar and scheduling assistant or anywhere else. And now you can manage that user from within Outlook on the web, and we've also renamed it to everyone inside your organization grouping because users never knew what that was. And the last thing we did is that we had a number of users delete that, thinking that's how you'd say turn off permissions, and then users don't know how to add it back because it's not someone in the gal, really. So now we prevent any client from actually deleting that default user, and we've added a none permission that users can set for that user. And finally, we've kind of started to group out people outside of your organization separately. And this was an ask specifically from y'all that we make it clear who's inside your org and who's outside your org for people. So I want to show you what the old UI used to look like on Windows and Mac and web for just some comparison. So this is the UI on Windows and Mac. I'll tell you a little funny story. I'm presenting this in front of a large group of people and saying, like, imagine you're a user. I had all these things, how painful and ugly this was. And then my engineering manager, like this very senior person, said, did you know I designed that? And I was like, oh no. I wish I had like pre-reviewed it with her. But like I had really like harped on how horrible that was. But I mean, she agreed with me. She said she coded that back in the 90s. So it's really, it has not been changed in a very long time. So that's what it's going to look like now. We're kind of constrained to the Outlook UI in that, the Windows 32 UI, so we can't make it quite as colorful as the Outlook on the web, but you're going to just be simplified down to this simple set of permissions. One thing I want to call out here is that due to constraints on desktop allowing you to delegate more than just your calendar from Outlook on Windows, we've added this breadcrumb to the Manage Delegates dialog. So now when you're sharing here, you'll have these four permissions for person sharing, and then you can manage delegates separately. That's mostly because desktop allows you to delegate more than just your calendar. And then on Outlook on the web, you have those same set of options. Now, delegate's the only difference, but we hope that it's at least you now have an entry point from the share dialog to where you go to manage your delegates, which didn't exist previously. One question we get also is like, hey, I have publishing author set or something like that. You know, this or there's really good use cases for that, and you aren't going to be broken. You can still set those kind of custom permissions from the PowerShell commandlet, but when we looked at data from thousands of users, we saw that that was, I think it was 1% to 2% of users had that, and we couldn't really tell if that was a user mistake or an intentional thing, but either way, that's not enough people to justify adding confusion to the UI. So you can still set that from PowerShell commandlets. And if you have a custom permission set today, or you're using desktop Outlook on Windows 2013, we aren't going to break that when we upgrade you to the new sharing model. We'll just keep that and set it as a custom permission. So if I had granted Charlie custom permissions, there would be one more radio button here that just basically says custom. So the user knows that they have a different set of permissions than what's shown there. My favorite is the five different ways that you can share from Outlook on Windows, and only one of them is actually the right way to share and send a sharing invitation. So what we're doing is we're collapsing that down to one share calendar button, which will open the UI that I just showed. Right now calendar, publish online takes you to Outlook on the web, et cetera. They're all collapsing down to one. And then the other thing is in the context menu in Outlook on Windows and Outlook on Mac, there where this sharing permissions used to be, there used to be a whole another flyout of menu of options. Sharing permissions also takes you to the UI that I just showed as well. Yeah, we'll talk about timeline at the end, but all the client Windows is actively coding against this right now, so soon. The other thing that we hear is if you're on a mobile device and you just want to accept a shared calendar invitation, you have to click a link, log in through the web. It's super, super painful. So we're adding a button like similar to RSVP where you can accept tentative decline from the mobile application, a native accept experience from all of our mobile clients. And I don't have UI for this, but I'll just mention that because we're now owning the sharing email invites from the web, we're working on that accept URL so that if you are using a non-Outlook client and you're an Outlook.com user or you're an O365 user accepting a sharing invitation, we'll take you to the right authentication page because we know where your mailbox lives. That's one other optimization we're making now. We're taking everything into the service. Okay, so just want to recap really quickly. Instant syncing, because it is a calendar folder that you own and changes are pushed to your mailbox, everything's going to sync instantly to you. Service handles conflicts, especially those times when two people edit the meeting and they override each other. And the last one is simpler syncing. There's so many points of failure today that we're really happy that there's only going to be one way to sync your calendar. I talked about simpler permissions, these five options. We'll handle the email and invites, so we'll also be updating the text of the sharing invitation so it's clear what permissions you've been granted and who granted them to you. We'll send you a mail if your permissions have been updated or permissions have been removed. And also full-featured shared calendars. Because it's now your own calendar, we can start to support things like offline shared calendars. We can let you as a sharee set reminders on the shared calendar. And third, we've been working on the ability to be notified when something on a shared calendar changes. So that's a really a family-focused scenario, but I'm sure there's business enterprise applications we haven't really thought of yet. But if you want to be notified when something's added or updated on a shared calendar, we'll support that. So timeline to your question, Greg. Right now, we're working on this. New shared calendars model is going to be released in Q4, next couple of months. The important thing is that you have to share your calendar and accept your calendar from an updated client. So that means, and we'll try to be really clear about this in the blog post and the IT message center, that if you want a new user to get on this model, they have to remove their existing relationship, share from the web, and accept from the web, or accept from Windows 10 Mobile. So at this point, you can only share from web and accept from web or mobile. In Q1, we'll announce it coming to Windows and Mac. So then you need to you can share from any of those three clients, Windows, web, or Mac, and you can accept from any of those four clients, Windows, web, Mac, or Windows 10 Mobile. So and this is if you just want to get on it faster than just being naturally upgraded behind the scenes. So sometime in Q2, we'll start upgrading existing relationships. For any users who don't want to be on the be on it sooner, we'll just slowly start upgrading you to the new model silently. And in Q2, the accept's coming to mobile. And I want to point out also that we're announcing the normal shared calendars in Q4 and delegated calendars in early Q1. So they'll both be on the new model first quarter of next year. Okay, so I kind of said this already. The reason that you have to share and accept is because we in the service have to do a lot of things to make this happen. And so it's just important that both the person granting permissions and the person receiving permissions are doing this through an updated client. And the other thing is that both sides of the relationship have to live in Office 365 together. One of the proprietary things that require you to both live in the cloud is that interception and the fan out that we do when changes are made to a shared calendar. And we can only do that if we own all the mailboxes in the cloud and do that. Okay, so existing relationships, I've kind of touched on this, but we'll start upgrading you naturally. Users won't see any changes. The only change they'll start to see is their shared calendars on their mobile device. They won't get any email notification or anything like that. And it does not apply to shared mailboxes. This is something we get all the time. But we innovated this on the calendar team, and we're actively working with the mail team and the contacts team to make sure that they're aware of the possibility here and how we can bring this to all the shared the ways that people share, whether it's the mailbox or whether it's the contacts. So we took this back from last Ignite. We've been working on it for an entire year now, and so we hope that mail and contacts can start to do this sometime soon as well. So two other top requests we get from all y'all is that first one is faster free busy queries. So when we looked at the data, we realized that 95% or 90, a little over 95% of your meetings were with the same set of 50 people. So when you're scheduling a meeting, these are just the only people you really need the free busy for. So we've improved how we query for free busy for the people you schedule with most frequently. And in our measurements, it's in milliseconds for the 95th percentile. And that's down from seconds. So it's a huge user saving, and I'll demo that after this. And the second one is meeting attendee info. So you can see who else has accepted tentative decline, whether it's on your own calendar, whether it's on a shared calendar. Now you always see the full attendee list, both the RSVPs and anyone who has also been forwarded the meeting invite. And this is rolling out worldwide right now, the attendee info, and free busy will come sometime in this quarter as well. Okay, so with that, I'll go to some demos here. So this is a Fabricia's test account. And if I click share in the web, I can see this list of Sherry's that he has. I'm going to share to Janet. And I'm going to grant her edit access because I'm going to demo editing a shared calendar for mobile. So you can see how fast that was. The list is up to date. I can even change permissions instantly like this. It's all pretty quick in the web. And on her thing, this is Janet's mailbox. You can see her picture up here. One thing we're working on is making the text of the email invitation better. And we'll also be hiding this add this calendar link when you're in a client with a native accept button, because it's confusing. Like, why do I have two different accepts? But ignore that for right now and assume that's not there. So you click add calendar. Maybe shouldn't be doing this on demo Wi-Fi. Okay, there we go. Yay! All right, so one thing that we've been working on is the ability to show the events instantly. I know that was felt like a little bit of spin time, but previously when you accepted, we would take you to an empty calendar. So we'd rather have users see events on the calendar than be taken to an empty calendar and try to like keep re-accepting and going back and being confused on what happened. So you can see that she can see everything on David's calendar. She can create. I'll show you creating from the mobile phone. And before I switch, though, I'll just show you FreeBusy before I go while it syncs down to the mobile phone. Oops. Okay, so I'll show you two people that I schedule with often. So Jaskaran is the engineering manager and calendar that I work with. And that was his FreeBusy. That was demo Wi-Fi right there. Whoa. Yeah. We spent a long time on this. We're really excited about this. So yeah, that's how fast FreeBusy is going to come back for the 50 people that you schedule with most often. So that's coming out this quarter. Yeah, it's dynamic. So once they become in your top 50, the question was like if you move teams or you start a new person comes on board, it is a dynamic list that's constantly updated. Every day we update that list and we keep it up to date. And Jaskaran hasn't shared titles and locations with me, but if you had shared FreeBusy titles and locations, that's also shown there. It's not just the FreeBusy that we're showing instantly. Yeah. That's a great question, and I don't have a confident answer for you, so I'll take that back and make sure that, what would you expect it to be? The principal's FreeBusy. Yeah, no, I will make sure we work on that and make that part of it. Thank you for the feedback. Okay, so we'll switch to mobile phone now. Oh, there it goes. Oh. Okay, so right here, this is Janet's mailbox, but you can see Fabricia's shared calendar there on the mobile phone. Janet's calendar is blue, Fabricia's is green. So I can see the events I have, I can see Fabricia's events. Fabricia's been invited to a birthday lunch, so you can see I can see the green check mark means accepted, the gray question mark means tentative, and Alex had declined this lunch, so I can see it both on shared calendars, and I created a test meeting. This one, so this is my own calendar, I'm Janet, and I can see other people's responses here as well. So I'll create a meeting here, so created by Janet. And I'll change the calendar to Fabricia's calendar. And I'll create it for all day today on Thursday, so it's easier to spot. Okay, so you can see that all day at the top in the green calendar. And if I switch back to the PC, please. Perfect, thank you. On Fabricia's calendar, I see the created by Janet event from today. Woo! All right, so that's it. That's shared calendars, delegated calendars, FreeBusy, and attendee information. Yeah. Yeah, so on-prem, we've talked a lot about on-prem for shared calendars. Our main concern is the syncing issue. And it's not that we couldn't bring the sync to your devices part to mobile, but we're concerned about user confusion because for some, if you know they're in the cloud, they get it instantly. If they're here, they don't, because users don't typically know where they live. So we're trying to work through, we're having discussions about that, but we don't have any timeline to do that right now. Yeah, thanks for the question. Yes, exactly. So the question was about offline shared calendars. So if I have edit access to an offline shared calendar, if I edit it while I'm offline and I come back online, what's going to happen is that Outlook on Windows is going to replay those actions via REST. So it replays them in the order that they happened. So when you come back online, everything you did offline will sync up to the shared calendar as well. And if I had thought of that, I would have put it together for a demo, but I don't have it on my Outlook for Windows. But great suggestion. Thank you. Anything else? Yes. For resource calendars. I haven't tested that, but that's a great thing that I will go look at after this. I would assume they would work the same as long as the can you log into a resource on the web? Then. Yeah. Okay. I'll test that after this. And I have two things: free busy for delegate principals and. Say that one more time, please. Yeah, I just want to confirm that that we think of shared calendars in the service when we're generating that sharing invitation. So I'll go test that and make sure it works. But I agree, the expected use case is that that does work. Pardon me?
Theoretically, yeah.
But I need to make sure that when we get that sharing invitation, we're not doing something different for conference rooms. We didn't start with rooms, but we can. I'll put that on the feature list, and we'll work on that next, or not next, but soon. I agree that it would. If you schedule the same set of rooms, then it makes sense. Yeah. Oh, the custom permissions. It's the existing share command that exists today already. So you just continue to use that PowerShell commandlet to set up custom permissions. And then if you set up one of these, if you set up one of the simplified permissions, we'll do it on the new model. The question is, can you view a shared calendar on a mobile device today? No. But as soon as we announce that we're going to do a blog post in the next couple of months, in Q4, saying share from the web and accept from the web, and then you'll be able to see it. Yeah, we'll put it out on the Outlook. I'm looking at Alan, our marketing person. Which blog does it go on? Okay, so we'll announce it on blogs.office.com/outlook. Yeah. And we'll also put something in that IT message center that we send messages to you on. We didn't change anything in the audit logs, so whatever's logged today continues to be logged, but we didn't add any new logging in that. No changes or anything like that. Yep. No. The question was no changes to PowerShell commandlets. Any other questions? All right. Thank you all for coming.